Off the Ball, GAA.
And Clare pushed up absolutely everyone. They were, I think they were a point or two up at the time, and they went on and won it because they weren't trying to be Limerick, they were trying to be themselves.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Very welcome.
Very welcome.
0879 180 180 is where you'll get us on WhatsApp. If you're listening to us now, prefer to watch us, type in Off the Ball on YouTube. Click on the live thumbnail and you will see three folks staring back at you. Big weekend, of course, like I said. We got Premier League, we got URC, got the Women's Six Nations, we got the GEA up and running, we got the World Snooker Championship, we got a lot happening. We also have WrestleMania. WrestleMania happened this week. On that note, I'd like to welcome to the show Dara Davy Boy Smith Nocton, for all you British Bulldog fans out there, and Shane McManahan. And
wow. Stretch, isn't it?
The son of the now disgraced owner Vince.
Oh yeah.
Well, Shane himself in his own right is a star.
So you're trying to combine Hannon and McMahon.
Yeah.
And how did you do it again? What was?
Well, it just sounded like a McDonald's offering, didn't it?
We did. Yeah. Sounded like you just came up with it there.
A one time only.
Yes.
Offering. Yeah. But it is this weekend. It's over two nights, of course, these days. WrestleMania.
Is it?
Yeah. They've done that for a few years now. I don't know if it's lost its pizzazz. A lot of controversy this year, right? They've had to reduce the ticket prices for the tickets they haven't sold. 25% reduction.
Where's it on this year?
It's Vegas, I think.
Vegas.
I think it's going to Saudi next year. There's a big controversy about that.
Of course it is.
Yeah. And TKO on it. There's a lot of controversy around it. Is that the same? 25 years ago was the great WrestleMania, 2001. WrestleMania 17.
Yeah.
The Rock against Stone Cold. The end of the Attitude Era, they say. Mm. Stone Cold turned heel. Do you know what that means?
Heel is the bad guy.
Yeah. Turned heel. Yeah. Aligned with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I was, yeah, growing up. Yeah. Loved wrestling.
I wasn't.
I got, I think, like 3 or 4 years in a row, I got the, you know, the old video games. What were they called? I think they're just called 2K11.
Oh, yeah.
I got, like 3 or 4 years in a row, they got that for Christmas.
The great WrestleMania, I think, happened about 5 months before you were born.
Yeah.
That one. The greatest. That one.
Peak. Ah, there was some
decent
ones. There's
an unbelievable promo. Right?
Mm.
Do you want a promo?
I do know what a promo is. Yeah. That's the bad guy. No. Go on. Yeah.
The package before and the montage for The Rock against Austin.
Yeah.
It was set to My Way by Limp Bizkit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And if you have people of a certain vintage and they see that promo, they see that package, you get a
brings them back.
Tingle of nostalgia.
Right.
Shoot up your spine. And I don't know how many people fall into that category in our YouTube this morning.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing time to be alive.
Yeah, well, when you were watching 17. WrestleMania, there was this thing called Fresh Air. I was out getting fresh air when you two were watching WrestleMania. I was probably playing Kirby with my mates or something, you know.
When you were raised in the 70s, right?
Good man, you're talking.
Raised in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, Kirby existed when I was a kid, too.
Yeah, did it, yeah?
Did, yeah.
A little throwback for you.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Used to walk to school.
Did you not have a TV?
No, I used to walk to school with my shoes off.
Oh,
as well.
That's sad.
Yeah, no socks. No socks, no shoes.
You've done really well for yourself.
Yeah, that's just Monaghan.
Forget where you were.
Yeah.
Kirby's massive in Monaghan. I've heard this before.
It's
like, Monaghan people bring up Kirby for some reason.
Yeah, it's called different things, is it? Maybe Kirby is just the general term.
You call it Kirby, yeah.
Kirby, yeah.
Yeah.
The World Cup, obviously, was the... Other people called that different things. 1v1, there's a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
What would you call that? World Cup?
Yeah.
World Cup, yeah.
Did you bring nods and vols growing up?
Headers and volleys would have called it, yeah.
Nods and volleys.
Nods and volleys.
You know that one? One bounce.
So that's crossed in.
No bounce. You'd be getting mad with sometimes, you know.
So you don't know what a volley is, so you'd have struggled playing that game. Half volley, not a clue. We've had this discussion.
Who doesn't know? Partey's son?
Yourself. The Lee Keegan of Manchester United, of course. Yeah, a lot of great memories growing up, but WrestleMania was not on my radar, I have to say. Yeah, but
right.
More power to you.
No, you'd love it. Honestly, you'd love the pageantry of it.
Right?
Yeah. Artemis 2, big weekend for you?
Huge weekend. Yeah, we haven't got the chance to talk about the swing around the moon. 10-day mission, it was hugely successful from a public relations perspective. has to be. But it's the first step back towards the moon and onto Mars. They're going to use the moon essentially as a petrol station. Helium-3 potentially could be a... mine from the moon. This is all long distance future. We mightn't land on Mars for the next, could be another 15-20 years, I would say, at least. But hopefully in our lifetimes, lads, we'll see footprints on the red dust.
Some nice of European action there.
Cracking night.
English clubs have found their level. It's the Europa League and the Conference League, isn't it? They excelled last night. All of them went through. So people who missed the Nottingham Forest into their first European semi for 42 years. Wow. Back to the Brian Clough days. They beat Porto 1-0 on the night in the City Ground, 2-1 aggregate. An early red card for Jan Bednarek, Porto.
Yeah.
Formerly of Southampton and Villa.
Was it harsh?
I thought it was, yeah. I thought it was pretty harsh, to be honest. And it really benefited Forest. They scored soon after.
The young lad who scored the own goal last week, wasn't it, for Porto? Will be shaking his head. It was the craziest own goal I've ever seen in the first leg. So
pass back.
Our team proved pretty good.
Where's the goalkeeper?
He catches it so well, though.
It was a great finish. Right, we tried that the other side, never do it.
Yeah. Deadly finish. But great to see.
That's where Arda Güler got the inspiration from this weekend.
Yeah. This week. And a guaranteed English Premier League club in the Europa League final once again after the All Premier League final last year. Like two teams with distractions elsewhere. Like Villa obviously have to keep an eye on the Champions League places and make sure they don't fall down, but Forest's issues are probably more pertinent. Chris Wood got injured last night as well, so that's a concern for the relegation.
That was the red card,
Chris Wood, like Jesus. Remember last season, Chris Wood?
Unbelievable.
He's a big game player as well. He scores in big games.
Injury boy, you know.
Yeah.
So far it's true. I thought this goes back to our whole theme of this week, talking about continental European football versus English football at the moment.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning we're talking about, we're way behind. It's just saying we from the Premier League perspective. Mm. And then Nottingham Forest, true, like they beat Porto. So a Portuguese heavyweight. We're Nottingham Forest in the Premier League.
Yeah. Porto, that might have been the unluckiest of two legs I've ever seen a team play. So the first leg,
yeah, possibly, and they hit the bar twice.
The own goal, they rattled the bar twice. Yeah. Mm. Deflection goal as well.
True. And who knows if Bednarek could say it on the pitch? Who knows? Yeah. But sure, we'll never know. Like far 16th in the Premier League, 3 points above the relegation zone. Maybe Porto over two legs. Aston Villa through as well. They had a very comfortable night. Unai Emery in the Europa League. Mm-hmm. Hell of a chemistry there. They beat Bologna 4-0 on the night, afforded to miss a penalty as well, Villa, and went through 7-1 in aggregate. And Crystal Palace in the Conference League, they lost to Fiorentina 2-1 last night, but they go through on aggregate.
4-2, yeah.
Yeah.
Great night overall. Did you know that Jack Harrison is playing for Fiorentina?
No idea. I knew David Ayer was playing for them, of course, but Jack Harrison, it's snuck under the radar a little bit.
I was watching a couple of those games last night. The Italian defences are so vulnerable. Just watching it, like Munoz for Aston Villa was getting in behind Gosens, formerly of Milan, Inter Milan, so easily all night long. It was, I don't know what's going on. I don't like that. I'm sure there's plenty of issues in Italian football and that's filtering through to the national team, but that's what struck me last night, is that the defences are just a non-factor.
Well, you see the likes of Romelu Lukaku banging in goals, and sometimes you have to put an asterisk beside them. That's kind of why the hopes were high for Evan Ferguson heading over there, but hasn't materialised the way we wanted it to. But yeah, the Italian football is a little bit, like Inter have the league sewn up this year. It's tough to predict each year, but having said that, you lads I thought were quite harsh in the Premier League yesterday.
Oof.
A little bit.
Go on.
I think the Premier League is maybe not at the top teams are maybe not at the level that they were a couple of years ago, but I think the average, if you look at the median, like the likes of a Bournemouth, for example, like would a 12th placed Premier League team beat a 7th placed Spanish team or Italian team? I'd say probably. Like, that's a pretty decent team, whoever's finishing 12th, 13th in the Premier League still. So I do think the median of the Premier League has gone up in recent years. They're tougher to beat. So there used to be a gap between like the top four. That's why it was called the top four. Even the top six, but that gap is non-existent anymore. Like anyone who predicted this kind of league to happen this season, everyone was predicting Liverpool to win the league at the start of the year. Everyone's like, they've signed Isak, they're going to defend the title. It just didn't happen. So I think it's become more unpredictable, which isn't necessarily a negative thing.
The price you pay, I think, for this increased competition is it seems to be a fall in overall quality, that teams are reading each other, similar level players, cancelling each other out.
Yeah.
And I think it's a subjective discussion here, but it was, saw Bayern Real Madrid, saw Atletico Barcelona, incredibly, incredibly entertaining. When's the last time you've been that entertained by a Premier League game?
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. I don't think anyone denies the Premier League's competitive. Everything's up for grabs this season, still.
Yeah, there are different kinds of entertainment. Like, I was at Old Trafford for the 4-4 Manchester United-Bournemouth game, which is hugely entertaining, but the quality of football in the Bayern Munich-Real Madrid game,
yeah,
just on another sphere.
But that's as good as club football gets at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not fair to really compare, you know, Arsenal-Bournemouth.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, so.
I've been called out here, very correctly, so we, from the Premier League perspective theory during me, that's a complete Freudian slip by me. You know, in the comments here.
What do you mean, we? You said we.
I said we, but I was talking on behalf of the Premier League. But I'm not actually necessarily affiliated with the Premier League, but it happens to be the league that I watch the most. I am open to the idea of the Premier League not being the best league in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is, you know, we have so much time to watch so much sport.
Mm.
We'd all be loving to watch loads of La Liga and loads of Serie A and the Bundesliga every weekend.
Like COVID
but
times.
We have to choose because we also have other sports to cover. When's the last time you watched the standard La Liga or Serie A Bundesliga game?
Yeah, full
years start, ago. From years start ago. To finish.
It'll be when you're on holidays.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people do.
No.
But I apologise for the wee perspective from Premier League because I don't actually feel that way. Yeah. We were just having this discussion pre-show.
Yeah.
So far as true, which I'm kind of happy for, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
It was a tough week, a real tough week for... Elliot Anderson, see
yeah,
his
yeah,
mother passed
yeah,
away
yeah.
and they had a tribute to him when Morgan Gibbs-White scored, he brandished the jersey.
It's lovely, yeah.
Yeah. And so Villa too, under Unai Emery, so strong in Europe.
Elliot Anderson, you'd expect him to, well, I don't know, is it dependent on relegation or otherwise, but you'd expect him to move on this summer. Manchester United have been heavily, heavily linked. Obviously, Casemiro's leaving. I think himself and Manu played in that kind of role together for England recently and... It was only okay, it was grand, but be interested to see if that's the starting Manchester midfield ahead of next season. Elliot Anderson can't be made, there's quite a high possibility. I'd imagine he's a player that they like the cut of his jib.
Did you see the overlap thing? Roy Keane's asked to rank the winner stays on for current Premier League midfielders.
Right?
I didn't see this.
And he's given the first two he's given as an option is Alex Scott and Matheus Fernandes. Who's Matheus Fernandes, right? So the West Ham boy,
yeah,
right? And I watched the video thinking, I don't think he knows either of these lads. And he just went, Fernandes, yeah. And then he just stayed saying Fernandes for every guest.
Would he not
after.
Know? Like, he does so much Premier League.
No, he does, but I don't think, has he thought twice about that West Ham boy?
No.
No, I wouldn't say so.
It's more superficial.
But if you go down the, outside of the main club's Premier League midfield players, it's like eventually you'll get to a point where it's like, okay, they all kind of blend into each other.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about a United prospect there, you're talking to Elliot Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Kane's punditry role isn't to break the games down at all.
He has it so sweet.
Yeah,
so
he's there for one-liners. And
it's so good.
Just his pure opinion on the overall consensus.
Now, I could be wrong. He could have absolutely known who that was and was like, no, I have an opinion about these two, but it just struck me. It was like, I think he just went for this.
I'd imagine with the budget that Sky have, they obviously have their researchers who provide some, you know, numbers, facts and stats to these pundits. But do you reckon Kane does... He naturally does research in terms of he watches a lot of football, I'd imagine, when he's at home. But do you think he sits there with a notepad and paper and takes notes or notes into his phone?
No, I don't think so. I think he's an arms folded type guy and just takes it in.
Just what
it's
he sees.
Not that he obviously knows the game.
Yeah.
It's just the... I said it's very difficult for someone like Roy Keane to explain to people like how to play midfield. Because for him, it's like...
That was the thing when he was manager, wasn't it?
Simple. Yeah. Like, you know, you just take the ball and pass the ball.
Mm.
Which is the advice he got from Brian Clough in his debut at Anfield. Was like, you can control the ball and you can pass the ball and just do that.
Yeah.
And he's did it for his whole career.
Yeah.
It was very simple to him. You nervous, Cavan Monaghan?
You keep saying Cavan Monaghan. The game's actually in Clonus, so we're going to say Monaghan-Cavan from this point forward. I know Cavan are ahead on the alphabetical. But this is Monaghan versus Cavan. Also, the difference in the flags of the two counties, I don't know if you're aware of this. People just say, oh, both blue and white counties. Cavan are blue and white, Monaghan are white and blue. And the difference there is... The first colour you say is the colour on the flag that is nearest to the flagpole. So Monaghan's white is right beside the flagpole. The blue is further away, and Cavan is blue and white. It's like there's a lot of counties with different, you know, red and white or white and red. Yeah. There's a difference.
See, Colm, this has been led by the Monaghan people. They really just want to differentiate themselves from the big brother of a. That is Cavan, obviously. This was never a thing for me growing up about blue and white. It was just, you know, Cavan or blue. But as I grew up and met more Monaghan people, I started to hear this thing of white and blue and white. And it's like,
the big brother. Interesting. Yeah.
So well, how is it going to work? Cavan at Monaghan?
Cavan at Monaghan.
How's that going to go?
Chernock's Park in Clonus. I was doing, so John Duganoff often references this piece. He says it's one of the best pieces he's ever read. Malachy Clerkin wrote a piece in the Irish Times in 2015 about the pantheon of GAA rivalries and where Monaghan and Cavan, or Cavan and Monaghan, sits within that. And this is a great line, right? He says, in the pantheon of great GAA rivalries, Cavan and Monaghan wouldn't be minded to make any grand claims for theirs. Mostly that's because their interest in what the outside world makes of the occasional skirmish between them will be limited in the extreme. They haven't met in an Ulster final since 1952, and for most of the intervening period, they've been two bald men fighting over a comb. And Homer made the Iliad from such a local row. There was an incident in the 1915, the Ulster final. So this is 3 years after the Titanic disaster in the middle of the First World War. Cavan essentially won the replay, but there was a disallowed goal for Monaghan. There was holy war over the whole thing, and there were Monaghan members and Cavan members of the Ulster Council, and the trophy was handed back and forth between two counties. I think ultimately Cavan kept it, but Cavan were so enraged at one point because Monaghan had taken the trophy back in a meeting. Cavan were so enraged that they tried to break away and set up a fifth GAA province. So aside from Leinster, Munster, Ulster and Connacht, they were going to call this province Tara, and it was Meath, Cavan, Louth, Westmeath and Longford. And it was as close to the GAA as ever come to genuine structural change in all of its years, just because Cavan and Monaghan couldn't get along. But the fifth province could have been Tara.
I've pulled up those fixtures from 1915, right? So they played four replays in 1915. So the first one finished 0-0.
Between Cavan and Monaghan?
Yeah. Second one finished 0-0. Third one finished 2-5-3-2.
2-5-3-2. To 3-2.
The fourth one finished 2-5-3-2. And then the fifth game played in Clonus, finished 4-3 to Cavan.
How do you go from no scores in two games to 2-5 to 3-2 in two games in a row?
So the first one was played in Belfast, second was played in Belfast, the next two were played in Belturbet for some reason, and then went back to Clonus. Weirdly, the only game that Cavan won then. I never knew about that.
It's crazy rivalry. You're from Cork, Colm. I know this will mean nothing to you, but it's a deep, deep... hatred is the wrong word, because we were chatting about this before the show. Monaghan people don't hate Cavan, and Cavan people don't hate Monaghan necessarily, but it is the team you most want to beat, the team you least want to lose to. Like when Raymond Gallagher kicked that point in the COVID year, after Monaghan, I think, led by 7 or 8 points in that game, I was inconsolable.
So you would scoff at the notion here of Michael on YouTube saying it doesn't matter, no one's getting knocked out either way.
Oh no,
they're getting knocked out of the Ulster Championship.
Yeah, team means
and like for Ulster teams,
you have a massive break if you lose. Wouldn't you?
True, 5 weeks. Yeah, I think.
Throne there could have another holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Ulster teams, the Ulster Championship is, for certain teams.
If you win the Ulster Championship, is it a successful year for everyone except Donegal?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe Armagh would see themselves as slightly better than that now. But
they haven't won an Ulster since 2008.
There's levels for Ulster teams. Like Derry win the league against Dublin a couple of years ago. Then they get knocked out, don't they?
Yeah.
They lose in Ulster, they lose in All-Ireland series, that's it.
Yeah.
Now that's not a successful year. So it's all relative, but Ulster is massive.
Well, the structure of the new All-Ireland Championship as well means that if you do get to your provincial final, it can be a help. I think you avoid a round, potentially, these qualifier system, whatever it is. And the winner of Monaghan Cavan plays the winner of Derry Antrim, I think it is, in a semi-final. Probably Derry, as we would expect, with all due respect to Antrim. But I think any one of Monaghan or Cavan, albeit they've had brutal years so far. I think Cavan only won two games in Division 2. Monaghan lost every game in Division 1. They'd still, if you can win against Cavan or win against Monaghan, like go into that Derry game with a little bit of hope and confidence that they can.
It does so much for your season. Like,
big time.
Like, and you talk about the 2020 game. That was a prelim round, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
That year. So, you know, Cavan still have to go and win three more games to end up winning the whole thing that year. And I don't recall going into that championship with any confidence that we would win the Ulster Championship, but it's off the back of beating Monaghan, and it's with the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like we came off an unbelievable performance or anything like that. It was obviously a great win, but and even I was mentioning pre-show, I was at that game in 2024, the game where Rory Beggan comes back from America.
Oh yeah.
There's a lot of talk around, you know, some of the boys coming back, much stronger Monaghan squad, and then Cavan end up doing the job on them. That just adds so much confidence to that group of players then going forward.
Winning this game, so I was reading that of three of the last six championship meetings, the winner of this Cavan Monaghan game has gone on to win Ulster, which is incredible.
Right. Oh yeah, so I saw that during the week.
So it's like just something about winning this fixture propels the season a little bit maybe. Yeah. And even though both teams have been, let's be honest, crap so far this year, maybe it can kickstart something. Who knows? A bit of momentum. going into the Derry game. We'll presume it's Derry in a semi-final.
Did you ever see Alan Partridge's 1994 World Cup Pat sketch?
No.
Similar anyway here. Irish Examiner, this is the road to the championship glory there. Enjoy that if you have the newspaper this morning. Try and follow it with your eyes. Very exciting overall though. Very exciting. Time to be alive. Munster boss backs outstanding human Randall is the reaction from Clayton McMillan about the story that's been really developing all week long, from a murmur initially to something that's dominated the headlines. Roger Randall's appointment by Munster, of course. And Clayton McMillan did media yesterday. Outstanding human, he's called Randall. So it looks like at the moment that appointment is remaining. A bit of an awkward one for Munster to deal with, and they've dealt with it in a way that I think a lot of people will question. Fight and talk. This is ahead of Arsenal against Manchester City. Or is it Man City against Arsenal?
It's Man City against Arsenal.
You're big
on
that.
The Etihad.
Arsenal at City.
Stephen Doyle and Brian Carroll will be at the Etihad for us.
Irish Daily Star Sport reporting that one. And Deckham, title race is beautiful. We're ready for it. Bring it on, says Ricey. Sun Sport. What else we got here? We've done you, have we? We have, yeah. Irish Ribbon call for more support as Green Wave builds speed. More than 16,000 tickets have been sold, are distributed by the FAI for tomorrow's World Cup qualifier as Ireland aim for a quick fire back-to-back double successes against Poland. Megan Connolly's hoping for more Irish fans to add to their support. This will be the sixth outing at the National Stadium, and they struggled to replicate the 36,000 that attended the Northern Ireland game in 2023. I was actually at that game that day. It was great. But she's calling for more support. That was after the midweek victory against Poland, of course. They're on a bit of a momentum curve there. The Irish team under Carlo Ward. Double deal boosts Chelsea. Moises Caicedo agrees new contract, with Levi Colwill expected to follow suit in the coming weeks for Liam Senior's side. It's all a bit mad, isn't it? Chelsea.
That headline about Rice saying, you know, bring it on, we're ready for it. But then they'll go and sit back for 90 minutes.
Oh, they sure will, buddy.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just...
That's what it means to bring it on. Bring on the attack, the waves
maybe,
of attack.
Yeah, literally bring it to us.
Real Madrid have their eyes on former Liverpool manager. Jurgen Klopp is the contender to be Real Madrid's next boss, should the Spanish Giants take the decision to dismiss Alvaro Arbeloa in the back of the Irish Daily Mail this morning. He's not going there, is he? He's not taking that job.
Why wouldn't he?
He's a desk job at Red Bull, isn't he?
Yeah, but if you want to get back to management...
He won't be able to do those Liverpool charity matches if he takes this gig.
Yeah. Does he miss it though, do you think? I think...
Oh, I'd say so.
Yeah. He's been involved with three clubs his entire career as a player and manager.
Yeah.
Mainz, Borussia Dortmund, Liverpool.
Maybe Real's not a fit for the likes of Jurgen Klopp. I don't know, but huge, huge club like Liverpool.
He's going to go back to Liverpool then manage Real Madrid.
Do you think so?
Would he? Yeah. Well, like, they're both up for grabs.
Like Trent being there as well, there's a link there, so, you know... Maybe Real see that as an opportunity to get more out of Trent. I don't know. But like you say, a cushy job with Red Bull. But I do feel like he's the type of person that just misses the limelight a little bit. Likes being in the...
Likes the press conferences.
Likes being on the back of the pages, the newspapers, press conferences, etc. And probably the connection with crowds as well. Does he get that with Real, the same that he had with Liverpool? Probably not. Things can turn very quickly for Madrid managers, as we've seen. I'd like to see him back though, personally.
Yeah. I'd expect to see Arne Slot still in charge of Liverpool next season. Like, I'd imagine that they're not the type of club to make a rash decision too often, and he's obviously won the Premier League. If they can secure Champions League football for next season, then give him another go, see how it goes. He could be gone by Christmas, you know.
A lot of Liverpool fans will be screaming down at you. Yeah. Like, you got to get rid of him now. People, I think generally speaking, Liverpool fans want Slot gone. We talked about this week, right?
That's so mental.
But he's had two seasons, one really good and one really bad. Give him a third one. See what happens in the third one.
Are you being facetious?
I've been saying this the whole time.
Yeah.
That's mad from you, though, because you obviously gave out a lot about Ten Hag and how that finished, and that, you know, one of
Ten Hag. Ten Hag
got given a chance.
Ten Hag was rubbish. There was a total difference there.
But Liverpool not been rubbish
in his first season at Liverpool.
Yeah, but it's
the thing of handsomely.
Given the manager another chance, can you afford to do that in a season? Not knowing he's going to be.
That Ten Hag example was the biggest waste of time ever after United won that FA Cup in 2024.
That could be the same thing with
Slot. You're just wasting your time. He's done. Like, that's a farewell trophy. That's Louis van Gaal in 2016, but worse. Right? Get rid of him. But Slot was... No, I showed the whole campaign, he did great. And in this campaign, he's done badly. So I actually want to see his mean average. He's at the extremes of both now. I'd like to see him next season. But I don't think Liverpool fans have any patience for him. I think the vast majority that we hear from and read from on YouTube and talk to in real life, I hear very, very few advocates for Slatt to remain as Liverpool boss.
Yeah.
That's like, because
it's been a peculiar, extraordinary season for them.
Yeah.
I think he just hasn't convinced the fans that he's the man for the job. Like, his press conferences have been a bit weird at times.
The,
and
I think,
like,
he's saying the same things that he said last season. It's the same tone, it's the same delivery. Mm. And people were praising his relaxed methods.
That's an issue, though, right? Because they're a winning team that were on the way to the league title. Probably should change a little bit.
That's what they got. But I suppose, then he'd be trying to be someone he's not, I guess.
Well, no, you just adapt to the situation, you know?
But I don't think he's going to change up the way he speaks, you know. That's the, you know, the way he delivers his.
Do you remember Jose Mourinho used to talk about the fact that, when he got second place with that Manchester United team, was one of his greatest achievements in management? You kind of look back now and you're like, you know what, probably. But I almost feel like, if considering everything, particularly with Diogo Jota this year passing away, I almost feel like if they can get Champions League football, that's like this season, it's one of the most remarkable stories. Like, I know they were champions last year, but to lose a teammate and a player like that and then still get Champions League football in a league as difficult as the Premier League.
I don't think that's impressive at all.
No,
I think that's the bare minimum Liverpool should be getting.
But I mean,
I don't think it's an impressive league at all. I think if you finish outside the top five in the Premier League this season, you're doing very badly.
Considering the circumstances.
With the baggage like that they're carrying this season.
Like the players. Imagine the players.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Like, I mean, Jesus, like, Diogo Jota, we can't quantify it. Nobody knows. Like, it's very, very hard to say how much of an impact it's having. It probably is. That's our guess, but we don't actually know that. But, like, Jesus, when Diogo Jota passes away and then the season starts with all the Liverpool new players accumulated, and he says to me at this time of season, oh, they'll be competing maybe for the Champions League. It's like, that's not remarkable. That's base level.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it is.
Yeah, I take your point. Yeah, like, the Liverpool expectation is to finish top two every season. I don't think I wouldn't say it's an achievement. I would, I admire what the players have done this season and that they've been able to just get on with things, and they haven't been great, obviously, but they've picked up some good results here and there under awful circumstances. But at the same
time, they've lost a bit of self-belief in the last month.
Mm.
I thought, like, that you're waiting for that second leg European reaction against Paris Saint-Germain at Anfield. You're waiting for that visceral.
I thought they were all right, to be honest. I thought they played pretty decent.
I mean, they lost 2-0.
Like, they're up against probably the best team in the world right now.
I know, but sure, when they were losing comfortably to Barcelona in 2019, you know,
they're just unpredictable. Yeah, they're not consistent. And I agree with you. Sorry, I'm not really saying that getting Champions League this season is a really good achievement. I actually just mean because of what's happened with Jota. If that hadn't happened, Liverpool getting Champions League football this season, that's a failure for them.
Yeah.
But I do think we're going to look back, I think, in 5-10 years and say, Jesus, wasn't that mad? Like, that they still managed to get European football and half compete. I know what you're saying, it's a lot of new players came in, etc., but
it's unprecedented what happened.
Yeah.
We don't know. We've never had this from a... Again, if we're talking just about the Premier League here, there have been players who have passed away who were active players.
Yeah.
But I guess nothing as high profile as this.
No.
Remember when you actually were playing. So, of course, it's going to weigh heavy on them. But, like, geez, that first day of the season, that Friday night game against Bournemouth, do you remember that? They won 4-2, was it?
Yeah.
And Salah was in tears.
Yeah.
Looking at the crowd.
They came out of the block so well. That's the thing.
They remember, like, they kept beating teams by the odd
late
goal.
Winners, yeah.
They were conceding, they were scoring, and Riwan Gamoa gets that late winner at St. James's Park.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's this season. It feels like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, and they're playing good football as well.
Yeah, but like, I just think they... I was really admiring them at that point and was like, this must be incredibly difficult, and they're going out on the pitch and are kind of being inspired by Diogo Jota. And of course, they have all these new players who are looking to impress as well.
Mm.
But I think I've been really disappointed in the last month. I think they look like they've kind of given up a bit. Slatt doesn't look like he has much energy anymore. I'm not talking about he was a very visceral, energetic person anyway, but he had the confidence last season.
Mm.
Now it looks like disinterest.
Yeah, see, I think that's on Slatt. Like, I think, and the general coaching team, but it's the manager's job. Keep morale high, to have everyone on the same page, and they don't look like a team that they are.
So,
and like, that kind of happened towards the end of last season as well. Everyone kind of took the foot off the pedal.
The words so that, well, yeah, when they were parking, they went to Ibiza.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, well, that suits Slatt. That's a Slatt vibe. Everyone was happy enough with it. And then this happens, and in hindsight, I was like, what do you want to go on holidays a year later? Like, I think that would worry me from a Liverpool perspective, is him saying, well, Robertson is going to leave. Yeah. Salah are going to leave and freeze. And that's the club policy. And we're going to have to sell before we buy. And he looked and sounded pretty fed up given that statement. Mm-hmm. And that could be the reason that he leaves.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
You know, if he doesn't really like the club policy, he doesn't actually sound like he's the biggest fan of Premier League football. He often talks disparagingly about teams, the way they set up against Liverpool. Has done in two of his seasons.
Yeah.
So there could actually be a world race.
All that being said,
fancy this job.
All that being said, you'd still keep him if you're.
I know, if he's up for it, if he's up for it, right? If he actually wants to do this job,
yeah.
I'd give him a third season. I would not discount what he did last season. Like, I'm just, at all.
You need to have an obvious name. Xabi Alonso is the name that Liverpool fans keep coming to. Yeah. Like, is that
he may not be available next season?
Yeah, and like, it's not a definite success.
But he'll be available again. I mean, like, all these managers move so often. Like, he'll be available again down the line. It depends. Like, look, obviously, if Xabi Alonso gets offered now, I'm sure if they deserve it. Alan Quinnan there is a Liverpool fan. He's in the production box. I'm sure if I offered you Xabi Alonso now, would you take him? A nod. Yeah. A nod there by Quinny.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Personally, if I was a Liverpool fan, that's what I'd be pushing for.
Could it end up like Solskjaer? Like, United fans wanted for romantic reasons. Oh, Solskjaer, this is going to be great.
Well, Alonso, but Alonso did it at Leverkusen. Yeah. Yeah, Solskjaer like had more than Cardiff.
Yeah, yeah.
No. A few other bits here, if you're interested.
Because Areola's available, by the way, as well. Like, yeah, I know he might go back to Spain, but, I mean, if you want a Premier League proven manager, that's the way to go.
Yeah, Cavan go to Monaghan this weekend. This would be good. Bernardo Silva.
Oh yeah, what a servant. Yeah.
What a servant. Is he better than that?
I think he's better than a servant.
Sorry, servant is a keep.
Servant is the first thing you say about it, like a squad player.
I don't mean he was getting like coffee for
a servant.
A servant to the club, you know.
He's there for 9 years.
Yeah. Sorry, servant is not a derogatory term for a servant means like
it's
someone
who's.
I think it's the sixth thing you'd say about Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Technical brilliance.
Yeah.
What a servant, as in he served the club so well with his unbelievable performance.
Oh, you didn't mean that.
And the trophies. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, what do you think? Do we kind of sleep on Bernardo Silva?
Yeah, for many years. I thought the last couple of seasons it's fallen off a little bit, but like through those kind of the best years of Man City in the last 10 years, he was absolutely key.
Yeah, is it because, generally speaking, there's a slight bit of apathy towards Manchester City at large. They don't really get people going when we talk about them. And Bernardo Silva is a good example of that, where everyone agrees he's brilliant. And consistent. So you just kind of let him at it and forget about it.
I don't know, like, I was watching his highlights actually yesterday. Sky Sports put up a package and he doesn't actually have that many great moments in terms of goals and, you know, in big games, but that probably is part of the reason why we don't appreciate him enough. It's the stuff that you don't see. It's the Busquets type of thing, like, so important to everything they do. He's like Bruno from Man United, but without the amount of goals he scores, he just creates so much for them.
He's the second iconic skillful Silva that they've had in decades.
Very similar player,
David, they had, for many people, like, David Silva was the greatest they had ever seen.
True.
And Bernardo falls into the category of having all his technical ability, and there's a bit of edge to Bernardo too. He's a bit of a bastard. You kind of want him on your team.
Here's a great comparison from Cara O'Leary. Bernardo Silva is the Jungberg to David Silva's Robert Pires.
Interesting.
You're not having that.
What does that mean? But they're two boys.
Just similar.
Those
similar.
Two boys are wingers. Oh yeah, yeah.
They're
They were both very good
facilitators.
Yeah, but I think they're both. I think Bernardo is Perez all day.
Bernardo,
But I get what you mean. They're both world class.
On the game has a comment. I think this is a little unfair to Bernardo because I think he comes last in this ranking. How are you ranking Man City midfielders over the last while? Bernardo, David Silva, Yaya Toure, Rodri, Kevin De Bruyne. It's a little unfair on Bernardo now.
Rodri's such a specialist. Like you maybe like
a
better footballer than Rodri.
KDB's number one for me.
Is he?
Yaya Toure.
I like Yaya.
Football was a joke to Yaya Toure for a couple of years. Yeah. A joke to him. How easy it was.
He's still third though.
It was so easy for Yaya.
Do you think?
2012 to 2014, Rodri, Yaya Toure.
KDB, Rodri, Yaya. Who are the others? David Silva, Bernardo Silva.
The two Silvas, Rodri, yeah.
You see, he gets, Yaya gets forgotten about it a bit, like, because he's in the Manuel Pellegrini era at Man City before Pep. I think you forget about Yaya. Yaya, like, starts at the centre half.
Yeah.
Yaya goes to midfield.
Yeah.
Yaya dominates.
Yeah.
No bother.
Can say
no
Yaya?
Bother.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You agree with that? Song.
You'd say Yaya? Yeah, yeah.
I would say Yaya, yeah.
Exactly. He was unbelievable. Speaking of football being a joke to him,
mm.
there's a new Ronaldinho documentary out on Netflix.
Right.
Dropped yesterday. Don't know if you've seen this.
Haven't seen this yet.
It's a four-parter, an hour per episode, shy of. But that's a lot.
That's a commitment.
So it's a Portuguese production.
Okay.
Right.
So there's an English narrator through the whole thing, right? The only English... I watched episode one and a bit of episode two. Who's the only native English speaker contributor in episode one?
You will
literally never guess who this is.
I would say R9.
No, he speaks Portuguese in it.
Okay.
Yeah, no native English. First language.
So first language
English speaker.
Beckham.
No. It's not Beckham, but he is English.
Native English speaker in a Ronaldinho documentary.
We'll be here all day.
David Seaman.
No. The guy in question plays in the same game.
Oh.
Ross.
Danny Mills.
Has just got a crack. Oh, did he say it to you too?
Did he say Danny Mills?
Yeah.
Ah. No, I didn't hear Danny Mills.
Danny Mills.
He didn't say it to me.
Yeah.
Danny Mills. When I think of that England 0-2 squad, Danny I just Mills think fifth choice right back, Danny Mills.
Yeah.
So why is it? Oh, he was marking him.
Ronaldinho got sent off in that game. After he lobbed Seaman, he went down on Danny Mills' ankle.
Yeah, right.
And he got a straight red. So Mills is in this.
He's only there for that bit, is he?
They're not coming back to him all the way in. Danny, will you call over there and just ask him for that little bit there? Like, nice one. Here's your 50 quid.
Yeah.
See you later. So I guess it was part of another interview he did, and he said this part as well. Right. But the rest is all Portuguese, but it's kind of like dubbed over. Rather than any subtitles, right? So it's a bit like Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Some dubbing, you know. Is it Fernandez and Father Ted at the start when he drives off in the Ferrari? He's talking and there's a narrator over it.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. So you can't really take the documentary too seriously.
Right.
I hate anything dubbed. I'd much rather watch something with subtitles.
There's some good moments. There is some interesting bits. Like how close he was, Ronaldinho, to signing for Manchester United.
Very close.
In the summer of 2003. David Beckham went to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
That's a big crossroads of football because, of course, they ended up settling for Cristiano. But Ronaldinho was very, very close and then ended up going to Barcelona quite late on. And his debut was played at midnight, started at midnight in the Nou Camp.
Right.
Because La Liga wanted Barcelona to play on the Sunday, but Barcelona had a game on the Tuesday in the Champions League.
Mm.
So Joan Laporta said, fine, we'll play it on Sunday, but we'll choose the time ourselves. So they chose midnight.
It's so spiteful.
To start it.
I love that.
And Ronaldinho scored a cracking goal in his debut in off the bar. And it's like 1:30 in the morning and the place is full.
Is it? Yeah, I was going to say about the attendance. Is like,
Ronaldinho was in it saying no one was going to show up.
Novelty.
Where does he rank?
Oh, he's right up there for me.
Is he top 15, top 10?
Of all time?
All time, straight up football.
For me,
he's top 20 footballers of all time.
For me, maybe like top 15, 20,
Okay.
But I think so. I've ever, like totally.
Yeah.
Like he was playing football the way like Lee Trundle played football, but he did it at the highest level.
Trundle and Ronaldinho.
It was a joke. Like he was just messing around on the pitch, but against the best opposition.
Mm. But effective though as well.
Yeah. Remember the Bernabeu? He scores those two goals.
Yeah.
And then they applauded. Standing ovation. Bernabeu.
Classy gesture.
They're archest rivals.
Yeah.
You won't have that like when Kavanagh are at Monaghan this weekend.
That's true.
No, you don't know.
Yeah. What a servant he's been to football, Ronaldinho. What a servant of football.
Spit at you right now if I could.
It was a beautiful game.
It was the servant Ronaldinho. It's the last thing you'd say about him. He served football for sure in many ways.
Yeah,
but he was Paris Saint-Germain for two seasons. And his second season, after he won the World Cup Brazil, he's actually left out of the team for a while.
PSG?
Yeah, so these are all the things you learn because he was partying too much.
Mm.
Love partying.
Oh, right, okay.
How many caps did he get for Brazil? What would you guess if this was a crappy quiz question?
50.
I was going to say like 55, yeah.
55, right.
I know he made his debut in 99. He's running his debut for Brazil as well. Oh, maybe it's a lot more, actually.
97?
Yeah.
With 33 goals.
Maybe it's a lot more.
We're way off.
Between 99 and 13.
13, he played as late as 13.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still doing the rounds playing in Brazil. But yeah, he was left out of the PSG team for a while in the second season. Then he gets his big move to Barca. And then, like, 2004, 2006 particularly.
Yeah.
Joke to him.
And
he brings Messi through. He gives Messi a goal in his debut. Chips it over. Messi lobs the goalkeeper.
Number 19, Messi.
Yeah.
Number 30 initially, and then number 19. Eventually he took Ronaldinho's jersey.
Just reading all about him. Like, what a life.
I must watch that, yeah.
It's good. It's a four-parter, so I'm about a third of the way through the second episode. But it's all dubbed. It's fine, like it's like a Netflix vanity project one where I presume he's the executive producer and it's all very sound. And they go to his gaff in Porto Alegre and he lives in the middle of nowhere and he's a massive trophy room.
So he's involved. It's like the Melania Trump thing that there's an involvement here.
His life is he gets invited to things, like he's a socialite.
Right.
So he's like, look, I'm not married, I can do whatever I want. He has a son now who's an adult. His son actually was on the books at Burnley.
Yeah.
Really? What's his name? It's not anything linked to Ronaldinho.
Jojo will tell us this. Like, it's all quite confusing in Brazil because they have different names. Like, his brother is Roberto Aziz.
Yao Mendes.
Oh, yeah. So his birth name is Ronaldo de Assis Moreira, commonly known as Ronaldinho Gaucho.
It was a Brazilian commentator christened him Ronaldinho Gaucho. When he made his debut for Brazil senior team, scored a great goal, and from there it stuck. So when he was playing for Grêmio before that, he wasn't called what we know him now.
I believe his son now plays for Hull.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's that day's pressure.
It's tough to follow, isn't it?
Nepo
tough to follow
baby, the grain. Yeah.
Didn't Diego Maradona Jr. get a try at like Aberdeen or something on the United? It's hard. Like, it's hard to go
living off the name.
Jordi Cruyff did quite well for himself.
He did. Decent career.
Yeah. Was he with that Alaves side when Liverpool won the UEFA Cup?
I think you might be right.
That was the one.
Justin Kluivert's done well.
A big part. Justin Kluivert's
done pretty well.
Yeah, he's done alright. It's hard to follow that. Ida Bjornsson made his debut for Iceland coming on for his father, I think. But the father wasn't that established.
Jordi Cruyff's the director of football at Ajax. No, I knew he had a big job.
He was on that podcast not long ago, actually. The Overlap.
Oh, yeah. Ronaldinho Gaucho is the only player in history to have ever won a World Cup, a Copa America, a Confederations Cup, a Champions League, a Copa Libertadores, and a Ballon d'Or. Quite a specific list. But still.
Wayne Rooney's son, he's been earmarked since he was about 7 years old.
He looks good, but now he looks Instagram good. I don't know.
But he's now, what age would he be now? Would he be 15 maybe?
Yeah.
So he's playing some decent level of football now and he's still playing well, so.
Yeah.
God, the pressure on that though, because he's literally been followed since Rooney was still playing.
I know. Do you know that goal look Ronaldinho passed to?
Oh.
He got that from basketball. He used to watch basketball games. And he'd be travelling.
I think he's a Knicks fan, yeah.
No, but they says to him, someone asks him, like, are you a basketball fan? He's like, no. I just look at this because I can use this football, the no-look pass.
Yeah.
He got it from Magic Johnson, the no-look.
Pretty sure I've seen him at loads.
Similar license.
Yeah, similar license. It's the old kind of, what would you call it? He's a maverick. Yeah, he's a maverick. We all love the Mavericks.
He was a maverick who was a winner. He was a winner as well.
Yeah.
Because he says that in the documentary, he was used to win. Does he actually have, right, pound for pound,
okay,
the best career ever, right? Because he won everything. Right? He won everything and he had a good time while doing it.
Yeah.
Like, he won absolutely everything and he was central to winning everything.
Certainly.
And at the same time, you could argue, geez, he actually probably got a little bit more if he wanted.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to be necessarily that disciplined. Although he himself says in the documentary he was more disciplined than you think. Like, he would be training hard.
He'd have to be,
But he'd work hard and play hard would be his thing. So he wins the World Cup for Brazil. He's huge for that.
Mm.
Wins the Ballon d'Or a couple of times.
Yeah.
Wins La Liga for Barcelona. First time in 5 years they were going nowhere. Yeah. Wins the Champions League with Barcelona.
Yeah. I mean,
he probably played in the best era of football as well. Like, you look at that AC Milan team he was in.
And even then, he was nowhere near as good as he was, and he was still quite decent.
Funny how you only won one Champions League. Like, for someone like Ronaldinho, you have in your head, oh, this is a kingpin of the Champions League. He's won it a few times. But
say, like, Brazilian Ronaldo, right, has won the Champions League as well, but I think it's like there was Wikipedia, but I don't think he played much. Right? This is AC Milan, 2007. I think he was with them at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ronaldo misses Real Madrid's Champions League win by a few weeks.
Yeah,
he signs afterwards. So he doesn't get that. But then he gets the World Cup and he also has the 98 sadness in that final.
Yeah.
So Ronaldinho doesn't have to deal with that. He just has the 0-2 win as a young fella.
Mm.
Gets everything else. He's in and out in a few years.
Yeah.
Does he have the best career ever?
He's certainly in the conversation.
Yeah.
Who else is in that conversation?
He's won the biggest individual awards and the biggest collective. Well, I'm on about, like, Cristiano and Messi will say, well, obviously it's us. But they're really disciplined and they really, really mind themselves.
Can I throw one in the conversation? Johan Cruyff in general, and you're talking about as a manager as well.
Mm.
I think in terms of football CVs.
Oh, yeah. Changing the game.
Yeah. But as a player as well.
Yeah.
Like, one of the greatest of all time.
Mm. Barry McCockner, they're saying, stood next to him once. He was surprisingly big, 6'2", 6'3", and a little more built.
Who was surprisingly big?
Your normal soccer. I think he's on about you. Is he? Is he on about you or Ronaldinho? And I learned also another thing. It's we've been saying it wrong. It's Ronaldinho.
Yeah, Ronaldinho.
Bruno
Fernandes.
Well, Jojo's on his travels at the moment, but he would tell us that too. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno Fernandes.
That's right.
Bruno Fernandes.
Best Barcelona front three, Ronaldinho, Eto'o, and Messi are Henri, Eto'o, and Messi. Are Suarez, Neymar, and Messi. I guess he wants to choose.
Oh, God.
All in the game. It's tough, you know. I have a fondness for Ludovic Julie myself.
Ludovic Julie, I choose the former, Ronaldinho, Eto'o, Messi, but that's just nostalgia. But the best is clearly Neymar, Messi.
That last three, that's that 2015 team. That
I'm talking MSN because it's Messi in his prime. Like, it's the best player of all time at his best.
That is the right answer. But
yeah, I think so.
Suarez is statistically right up there as one of the best Barcelona players of all time.
Mm. And Neymar was at his best as well at that point. Like,
quite possibly.
Yeah.
Also, just get to this before we get to Quinny there. Yeah. Real tragic news about Alex Manninger, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday. Geez, that really caught us all off. But Gary, I'd say so. Tragic circumstances too. His car is hit by a train in Austria. People remember him, if you're old enough to remember his Arsenal career, particularly 97-98 season. So he fills in for David Seaman. I remember that. Mm. Remember, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think he got special dispensation to get a Premier League medal. He played, there's a famous game at Old Trafford where Arsenal win 1-0, Mark Overmars scores. He plays that game.
Win the season.
And I think he saved a few penalties against West Ham in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup that season. So they win the double. He was a huge part of it. David Seaman paid a lovely tribute to him yesterday, actually. He said it was quite hard for him to get his place back after Manninger filled in for him. And then he had a good few spells in Italy, once Serie A with Juventus. It was really sad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Not much to say in it. It was just off. I might talk to Barry Murphy about it too, because we were chatting to him yesterday about it. He was a class keeper. Remember, he made, maybe because I was only a kid and going on goal was fun because of Peter Schmeichel, but he also made going on goal look fun.
People have these ideas as well of these, what you call them, substitute keepers or number two keepers, but how important their role is in terms of the squad dynamic. Like Raymond van der Hauwe was on that podcast recently. He was talking about it was clearly such a strong part of that team dynamic and the aura and the vibe around the place. Mm. Tom Heaton currently at Manchester United as well, but Manninger seemed like that type of person at Arsenal, who wasn't just clearly an unbelievable goalkeeper when he got his chance, but really nice person as well and respected by his peers. Which isn't always the case, let's be honest. Some of these players just don't get along, but was clearly a likeable guy, and it's the nature of what happened. Yesterday is so, so horrible. And, thoughts with his family and all Arsenal fans who remember him fondly, I'm sure.
Totally, yeah. I get your tributes in for Alex Manninger. So plenty to come on the show. We'll have Quinny there coming in imminently to talk about the URC and the Women's Six Nations. We have Barry Murphy talking about the League of Ireland. We'll have Shawnee Johnston. And Darren Hughes talking about
Darren Hughes and Shawnee Johnston. Cavan at Ulster.
Monaghan, to be specific. Here's one for you. Is chess a sport or a board game?
Oh God,
it's a. I would call it a board game, to be honest.
It's not a board game. I'm willing to have the debate about it being a sport, not having the board game thing.
It's a sport game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like darts, but darts is clearly a sport. It involves a physical action. You might say physical action is moving
very quick
chess pieces.
The buzzer.
Yeah, it's quick enough. Yeah.
It's not easy.
But the darts. Oh, yeah.
No.
I can't believe we're talking about this and not the World Snooker Championships, but I hope we'll get back to it later, Colm. I'll just say that.
But you don't know, the greatest twister player in the world, for example, Hungry Hungry Hippos.
No. Maybe we should.
But you do know the greatest chess player in the world.
Because he's a bit of a. Pratt, let's be honest, he comes across as a very arrogant.
He is.
Sports person, or not?
There could be a chancy twister great. You still don't know him.
Yeah,
or her.
Yeah.
But you do notice chess grandmaster.
That's true.
Is that a sport?
I have a personal soft spot for chess because my primary school was actually a chess school.
Good first aid.
Historically, all right.
Your primary.
I was opening up to you there. And you've just taken my kindness
from me. Come on. I want to hear from you. No. Come on.
Your primary school was a chess school.
My primary school was a chess school, yeah. Historically, Yeah, that's what, if you came in, you kind of just tried chess. You know, like Gaelic football school would have been, a rugby school, everyone tries it. Not so much like now, I don't think it's really.
It's changed.
There used to be like chess school after school.
Shout out to the school. What's the school, Dar?
St. Phelim's
in Cavan Town.
Yeah.
Shout out to the chess school, St. Phelim's, yeah. You don't hear that too often, but it's an art form or sport or board game that is coming back massively. People are, I think Gen Zs are getting into it.
We got picture in COVID.
Did,
the
online
stuff.
Yeah.
There's that Netflix documentary about it,
The whole cheating controversy was.
There's a documentary about it now.
Is there, yeah?
I don't want to give it away because there's the reason that suspect the cheating. Just give it away too much.
Oh, yeah.
It's class. I'll tell you in the break
I'd recommend it.
Is this the...
Yeah, your man,
wearing the device.
Yeah. The device.
Wearing some sort of form of device.
You truly were. Raised in the 70s.
Can you not say that? No, you can't say that on air, can you?
I don't think device.
You, device. I think we spoke about device.
I know, I say it all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I don't think
that's the best bits of it somewhere.
Yeah. We should say, I don't think it wasn't true.
That's the whole thing. Statement out there, like,
yeah. Oh, it's an alleged
yeah,
cheating,
I don't
course.
Think it was
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Yeah, we should make that clear.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.